Wow, the last night. Well, the question today is, why live forever? You know, many people wonder what happens when you die. And when I was younger, I used to watch a lot of cartoons. And they would have, you know, whenever the bad guys die, they would turn into angels and kind of fly up to a cloud and play a harp on the cloud. And so you grow up and you watch this time and time again, and all of a sudden it was like game over, now comes the boring stuff. I mean, why would you want to sit in a cloud and play a harp forever and ever? You can't change the instrument. You sit in a cloud and you have to watch everyone else having fun. So growing up, it was like, why would I want to do that? And so then there's this other idea that you die, you rot in the grave, and you get recycled. Now, why? I mean, I used to believe that. I used to sit there and think about not existing. I would rather go to hell. When I would think about not existing, just dying and that's it, nothing. Like, you can't even think about black because that doesn't even exist. You wouldn't know any of your loved ones, nothing. As the hardened atheist as I was, I'd start to, you know, get a little teary-eyed and think, I can't think about that. I can't think about that. So, all of a sudden, life becomes pointless and meaningless and awful. And then there's the idea where you come back and live life again. Maybe you'll live better, maybe it'll be worse, but I tell you, one life on this planet is enough for me, thank you. With all the death and destruction, the disease, I don't really want to be reincarnated. And what if you get reincarnated as like a fly? Swat, then what? You come back as an elephant? And then, you know, in some cultures, the cow is the ultimate existence of reincarnation. I mean, why would you want to repeat life with disease and death and to have to keep going over this ground over and over again? Then other people, they believe that like you become like some super spiritual energy force, something. Like you don't really exist, you're just kind of like power. That's so spiritual, that just sounds super boring to me. I'm like, why would I want to do that forever? So what's heaven really like? What's the Bible say? Well, let's pray and look into it. God, you said that you wanted to give us life and life more abundantly. So, what's it about? Teach us from your word tonight. Give me the gift of teaching and let your word speak. And Lord, help us as we're going through the teaching to want to go there too. They give us a longing in our hearts to live for heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was working earlier. This thing's not working. Why live forever? I believe that heaven is a real place. Okay, perfect. I don't know what they did. It worked. Okay. I talk about these things that heaven wouldn't exist, that it's like just a cloud, all these things. I believe that God is real, that we look through that He really created the world, that the Bible can be trusted, that Jesus is really God, that He's a real being, so that must mean that heaven is a real place. Well, it's interesting, Jesus in John 14, the first three verses says, basically what happens is He's telling them, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to leave. So they get super depressed, and He was like, Whoa, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So he's trying to comfort disciples. He's like, listen, it's good that I go through this, because then I'm going to go and prepare a place. If it was just a cloud, he wouldn't have to do much. If it was just energy or spirit, he wouldn't have to do anything. He is going to prepare a real place so that he can come back and take us to this real place. And he says, I wouldn't tell you this. I wouldn't lie to you. This is real. So he's promising us a real place. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new what? A new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had done what? So he's saying that he's going to recreate the world. Lots of times we get this idea that we're going to go to some spiritual nothingness. But my Bible says that there's going to be a new what? A new earth. He's not going to make a new earth just to destroy it again and make us all spirits. It's going to be a real place. He also goes on to say, in the next verse, what does he see? He sees New Jerusalem, which is like the capital city. That's God's house, the one that has all the rooms in it that we're going to live in. It comes down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and it comes and it lands on the new earth. So heaven is coming down where? The new earth. So where are we living for eternity? On the earth. So this cloud business? Nonsense. Energy? Not what the Bible says. He's saying that he's going to recreate the earth and he's going to live there with you and me. And on top of that, he did say, like, happy are those who are meek because they're going to inherit the what? The earth. And why would he lie? So it's going to be a real place. It's not going to be fake. It's going to be the real earth remade perfect. So these promises mean that heaven is a real place. So what are we like in heaven? Are we ghosts? Are we just spirits? What does the Bible say? In John chapter 5, 28 and 29... it says, don't marvel at this. So don't marvel means don't be shocked if this is something new. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the what? In the graves. So how many people are in the grave? All who are in the graves will hear His voice and He'll come forth. There will be a resurrection. If you're resurrected and you're in your grave, what's being resurrected? Your body. So your body is going to come forth. Those who have done good will get life, and those who have done evil will get condemnation. So we'll be resurrected with our body. In Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you a mystery. A mystery would be enigma, a puzzle, something that people don't understand. He says, we're not going to all do what? So Paul considers that we, that would be including himself, are not going to sleep forever. But we'll be what? Changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, when? Right when we die? When's the last trump? When? What is he talking about? Does anyone know? The return of Christ. So he says that we are all going to sleep until when? So we're going to sleep in the grave until Jesus comes back. Is Paul lying? Or is this really the truth? It's the truth, because Paul is inspired here. He's not lying. So he's going to, at the last trumpet, he's going to come back, and for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. So it's going to be a little bit different. The bodies will be perfect. They won't be corruptible. And then it goes on to say that this incorruptible will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, mortal must put on immortality, then shall be brought the pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So Paul says that it's at the second coming when we get victory over death. Isn't that what he just said? Then, when? Last trump, shall be brought the pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we do not get immortal life until the second coming. And that's going to be a bodily resurrection. It's going to be different. We're going to have perfect bodies again. Remember when I talked about in the creation seminar how people were different, they were bigger, they were smarter, they were better? Well, I'm so glad that we will be perfect again. That those who have imperfections will come up without imperfections, that they will be perfect. So heaven's going to be filled with real people with real bodies. We'll have our bodies. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter in love, it says that we will be known as we are known. So even though we'll have changes in our bodies, we will be able to recognize each other. We'll be able to know each other. That we will be real people. We won't be ghosts and spirits. That we will be real people. With perfect spiritual bodies, they'll be perfect again. But we will get to know each other and it will be perfect again. Real people with real bodies. So, we have these real bodies. We're in heaven. What do? Playing harps all day? Well, let's read a verse in Isaiah 65. This is where he quoted in Revelation. It says, well, he's creating a new heavens and a new earth. That's where Revelation quoted from. It's here in Isaiah. It says, the former shall not be what? Or come to mind. So Isaiah is saying we won't remember the bad things at all. Right? Is that what he's saying? Is Isaiah lying? It says that they shall not be remembered or come to mind. So all the bad things that we've done when we're in heaven, will we remember them? At least on the new earth, we won't remember them at all. Unless Isaiah's lying. Isn't that make you happy? All the things, the mistakes, won't be remembered. That's going to be great. No more guilt, no more problems. You won't even remember them. But we'll be what? Glad and rejoice for what? Forever in what I create. For look, behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy. The reason why he's doing this is because he doesn't want us to think back, man, remember when I messed up then? Man, oh man, I blew it. Would that, think about eternity, thinking back to the time on earth, remembering all the sins that you've committed and having them come back again and again forever. Heaven's going to be so good that we won't remember them. We just can't bring it to mind. That's what the Bible says, unless Isaiah's lying. But why would you want him to be lying there? Why would you want to remember your sins forever? Isn't that beautiful? He continues on and says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her. Amen. No more crying. So we won't be crying in heaven. Nor the voice of crying, nor more an infant. Now this is, you notice it's in quotes. This is just a weird phrase. It says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man not fulfilled his days. Child shall die 100 years old. Sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. It's in quotes. You know how we say things that really don't mean what we mean? There's sayings that we say and you don't really mean it. Like, just like there's slang even today. Like you'll say, man, that's bad. And you don't mean it's bad, you mean it's good? Well, it's a figure of speech. Basically, Isaiah's writing here and says, it's going to be fair. No more will you have babies being killed by disease who are in good families. And no more will you have wicked people who are completely abusing their life privilege living until 100 years old. No more will this happen. The righteous will get the righteous reward and the wicked will get the wicked reward. It'll be fair again. Because, you know, on earth you have wicked people who are doing wicked things for a long time and living a long time and having a great life as far as what our carnal mind can see. But then you also have like babies born into good homes with good parents who are dying as babies, dying as little kids. Bad things happening to little kids who are innocent as far as they just don't deserve it. And they're in good homes. So in heaven, it won't be like that anymore. It'll be fair. He goes on to say, they shall build houses and inhabit them. So what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to get to build our own house. Now, I don't quite understand it because there's going to be no more death and destruction. So I don't know if we're going to be cutting down trees because then that would be killing. Or maybe the trees are so cool that they just kind of like give up their branches. I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's perfect. But it does say we're going to build our own house. And that means we get to build it. Now, there's the mansion that Jesus prepares for us in the heavenly city, but we get to build our own country home the way we want to build it. And the other cool thing is that it says right here that we shall also plant vineyards and eat the fruit, but we will not build in another inhabit. You know, like today, we have people who design and build houses so that someone else can live in them. But in heaven, you will get to build your own house and you will get to live in it. And it will be yours. It will be exactly the way you want it. It will be your house. It will be perfect for you. You built it. You get to live in it. I mean, back in our minds, everyone would love to design and build their own home. I mean, I don't know anyone who really is like, man, when I grow up, I want to live in New York City in some little apartment and work just to pay rent. Deep and down and inside of every core of our being, we want to design and live in our own home. I mean, like deep down, I don't know anyone would say, I don't want to live in my own home that I designed and built. I mean, deep down inside, I think everybody would be like, I want my home exactly the way I want it. I want to build it. That's something. And God says, I know. I know that's what you want, and you'll get to do that in heaven. It'll be perfect. And the cool thing is we also get to plant vineyards and eat the fruit. So there's going to be perfect food. In fact, we get to eat in the tree of life again. And there's going to be like, it's going to be a perfect diet. And we get to grow what we want. And it's going to be perfect. And so we're going to grow things and eat them. And not, we won't grow things. Now, I'm sure it says, they shall not plant and another eat. I'm sure that when I get to heaven and I grow stuff in my vineyard, I'll plant it and I can eat it for myself. But I'm sure that I totally will want you to come over for dinner. But it's saying that now, you know, there's people who live for slave labor wages and who pick and pick and pick and get paid next to nothing and they don't even get to eat it. That won't happen in heaven. You'll have your own vineyard that you have planted and that you get to decide what you want to do with it. And heaven's going to be such a loving place that we're going to be hanging out at each other's house, eating each other's food all the time, but it'll be because we choose to, not because we have to. That's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect. And it says, for as the days of the trees, so shall the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy their work of their hands. So we'll be working, we'll be doing things, and we'll get to enjoy it. No more hard labor. That came in Genesis 3. It's going to be fun. We're going to be doing things. It's going to be a real place. They shall not labor in vain. You won't be building things, just have it fall apart. It will last forever, and we'll be doing things. We'll be learning for eternity. It'll be like going to school. God made the whole universe. It'll be for our learning and educational purposes. We'll probably get to check out all the planets. We've been on Earth for 6,000 years and we haven't figured out Earth. So we'll get to take a few thousand more years just to figure out this planet when it's recreated. And then we can start studying Venus and Mars. And we're just talking about our solar system and our sun. There's galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. And I could keep going because we could go to galaxies and planets and study them and learn about them forever. When I was going to school, I was thinking, I'm really good at the school thing. Too bad that couldn't be my job. That would be sweet. Just going to school and get paid to go to school. That would be the dream job for Nathaniel. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I just like going to school. That would be sweet. I could just go to school all the time. I'm kind of glad because the pastoring thing, you got to study all the time to teach people. So it's kind of like a dream job that I didn't even know about. But the cool thing is in heaven, we get to keep learning and learning, and Jesus will be our teacher. That's going to be rad. So, okay. And the offspring with them, it shall come to pass before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. The communication is going to be perfect. Like you think, man, Like right now, it'd be really cool if this happened, and then God's going to be like answering your prayer requests before you even think it. It's going to be there. So it's perfect. He's right there answering your prayers immediately. Like it's the communication just... And it's just everything is happening when it's just at the speed of thought. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Mortal enemies. The lamb always, you know, having to run and hide. And you ever see them? They're like basically have these little stubby legs. They can't do much. The wolf can just go and... They're going to be eating together. They're going to be hanging out together. In fact, you can have a pet wolf. And it'll be nice as your dog. As your normal dog. You can have a pet wolf. And it says the lion will eat straw like an ox. There's no more death. Lions aren't meat eaters anymore. They become vegetarian. So you can have a pet lion. Man, you can have a pet brontosaurus if it's there. Like, my favorite animal, like I have three favorite animals. One for sea, land, and air. So I want three pets. The land animal is a bear. It's my favorite animal. It's a big old bear. So I want a bear. And then my, you know, I want like a pond or something, and I want a dolphin because that's my favorite water animal. So totally want a dolphin. And then my favorite flying animal is the bat. So I want a bat. So I want a bear, I want a bat, and I want a dolphin. In fact, I have one of those little beanie baby bats, and I have it in my car. Like I had it hanging up from the dashboard. So I want a bat. They're like awesome. Like they can see. And I mean, they can't see. They have sonar and they do all these really cool things. I want a bat. And I don't know, it's going to be perfect, so maybe it won't be quite the same. Maybe it'll look more like a bunny rabbit with wings instead of a rat. But still, I want a bat when I go up to heaven. And so just think, you will have a perfect animal. The pet that you want, it will be there because it'll be perfect. You'll have perfect animals. So, and it says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain. No more death, more destruction. It'll be perfect. We'll get to do things. We'll have animals and pets and build things. It's not just playing a harp all the time. But it does say we'll have a harp. So if you're not musically inclined, you'll be able to play a harp, which is not an easy instrument to play. So I'm sure you'll be able to play all the other instruments that you ever wanted to play. And on top of that, if you can't sing, you'll be able to sing. That'll be sweet. So heaven is a real place with real activities. Who's going to be in heaven? And they say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down. Who's going to be there? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everyone from the Bible that you read about that's righteous. Noah's going to be there. You can ask them, well, of course, with the former things won't come to mind, but there's this period of time called the 1,000 years where we get to review the books. And we'll get to talk to them. What was it like preaching to the antediluvians before the flood? That would be, like, if I could go back and just see like a half an hour of the Bible, I would want to see Noah preaching before the flood. That would be sweet. You could talk to David about fighting with Goliath. That'd be number two. If I could have just a half an hour watching David fight Goliath, that would be sweet. You could talk to Daniel about the lion's den. You could talk to Jacob about having to run and then wrestle with an angel. You could talk to Ezekiel and ask him, what in the world was that book all about? You can hang out with Paul. You can practice preaching with Peter. You can hang out with John. You can hang out with Martin Luther. Ask him, what was it like to be in the Reformation? And you want to know what? I believe I'm living in the last times. I believe we're all living in the last times, and things are going to get crazy, like the Revelation says. And they are going to want to talk to us and say, how in the world could you live in a place where the devil's so wily and so tricky and sin's so magnified and still make it? How did you do it? They'll want to talk to you. So you get to hang out with the people in the Bible, and there's probably stories in the Bible that we don't know about, and we'll get to meet them. So the heaven's going to have these awesome people. So heaven is going to be a real place with real people that we can hang out with. That's awesome. So what will God do there? It says right here, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When I was growing up, I wanted to never reach the age of 30. That was like my life ambition. I wanted to go out with a bang, party myself out, and die before 30. I remember thinking, if my knees hurt this bad at 20, why in the world do I want to live past 30? If I'm already feeling this awful, why would I want to live past 30? I still don't want to live past 30. It would be awesome if Jesus came, but He's got to hurry up because I only have like 2 years and like 2 months. But I wouldn't, why would you want to live past 30? Before, it was for bad reasons. Now, it's like, man, I just want to get to heaven. But you want to know what? It'll be worth it if more people can come to the kingdom. And if I have to make it, if He has to wait until I'm 40, that's fine. Even if I have to wait and live until old age, that's fine, because it's worth it living with Jesus. But when we get there, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more anger. It's going to be perfect. In fact, heaven's going to be a real place with real peace. It's perfect. Perfect peace, perfect joy. Perfect emotional. You know, it's going to be perfect. God's going to take care of it. He says He's going to wipe away the tears. No more disease. No more cancer. No more, you know, seeing your loved ones die. No more you having to go through the pain of death. No more of that. Perfect peace, perfect emotions, perfect happiness. So what else is going to happen in heaven? It says, and it shall come to pass that one from one new moon to another, from Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come. What is that? All flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. So there's going to be worship in heaven. In fact, heaven's going to be a real place of real worship, perfect worship. Think about it. You come to church on the Sabbath. And you come in, and there's a song service in heaven. And you get to hear the angels sing a choir song. There's going to be a choir of some group of people singing their thing. Then there'll be some congregational music, and Jesus will lead out, or Jesus will be singing with us. And even God the Father will sing. And basically, that'll be so beautiful that we'll have to be quiet. Because it's just so beautiful that we just have to stop and, whoa. So the singing will be perfect. Perfect singing. I don't know what other things are going to go on in worship, but it's going to be perfect. And then we'll get to hear Jesus preach. We'll get to hear God the Father preach. And of course we'll get to hear other people like Peter, Paul, and these guys. But Jesus will preach. Perfect worship. Perfect worship. Like, we can't even imagine perfect worship. Even if we were able to figure out the best programming and put all the best people together for a church service here on earth, it will be so small in comparison to worship in heaven. I mean, it says in the Bible that they start worshiping, like the worship service starts, and they just say, holy, holy, holy. It's so good that that's all they can say. That's how good it's going to be. They're just saying that over and over again. They're just like, they're so amazed how awesome it is. And then God says some new verse or some new idea, and they're like, they say it again because it's so incredibly awesome that that's all that it can say. So where will God be? And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be their God. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. We will see who? God's face. There will be perfect face-to-face communion with God the Father again. In fact, the best part of heaven is that we have friendship with God. We get to hang out and worship and study and be with God again, face to face. Heaven's going to be a real place with real friendship with a real God. And that's the best part about heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if Jesus wasn't there. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if God wasn't there. And you know what? Heaven wouldn't be heaven if you're not there. It wouldn't be as good if you're not there. So Eden at the beginning was a perfect place. It had perfect light, it had perfect plants, perfect animals, perfect weather, a perfect people, had the tree of life, the river of life, the perfect diet, the perfect worship, perfect relationship with people, and the perfect relationship with God and man. We don't have that today. If you look, we don't have the perfect place. I mean, just look around. Deserts, destruction. It's not the perfect place. The perfect light? No way. We get sunburnt by our light source, and it causes cancer. And we need it still. So you can't lock yourself up and become so depressing that you are always white all the time. Like what I used to be. You know, pale face, locked up, playing video games all the time. But you can't have too much because then you get skin cancer. It's not perfect light. Perfect plants. Perfect animals. Perfect weather. No way. These things don't happen. I mean, we have our plants cause things, the rashes that you have to have special soap to clean off. You can't go hiking and enjoy God's wilderness because you're afraid of poison oak everywhere. I went to go and hike to enjoy nature and I couldn't go anywhere because there's poison oak everywhere. It's just like, man. And I didn't want to test to see if I really was immune or not because I didn't really feel like being itching and scratching up here. We don't have perfect plants. The animals, I mean, even we get pet dogs and they try biting us. The weather, natural disasters. It means they happen naturally and destroy things. We do not have perfect weather. People, can you say murder, rape, crime? We don't have perfect people. We don't have the tree of life. We don't have the river of life. Perfect diet? Have you heard of junk food? If you would read and research some of the things that they put in your food, the chemicals, we would be scared. I think that's sometimes why we pray over what we eat. And I don't even know if that can help. We don't have a perfect diet. We don't have perfect worship. Sometimes we come to church and it sounds like it's more like a funeral and someone died than it is worshiping the living God. And even if we were to nail it with everything we had, it still wouldn't be perfect. It would be nowhere near. Perfect relationship with people, divorce, getting dumped right before prom by email. We don't have perfect relationships. And perfect relationship with God and man. Religion is so confusing, so messed up. Even the people who think they have the truth, Christianity, is so divided and fragmented and we can't decide what God is like and who He is within Christianity, let alone all the other religions that believe in God. We don't have a perfect relationship with God anymore. But when heaven comes, it'll be again a perfect place with perfect light, with perfect plants, with perfect animals, with perfect weather, and perfect people. There will be the tree of life again. There will be the river of life. We will have the perfect diet again, and it will taste good. It says that the tree of life will come and give fruits out every month. So that means that there's 12 fruits in the tree of life. So I'm kind of this person. I can't eat the same thing over and over and over and over again. So I'm glad that we'll be able to plant our own vineyards. But I think 12 fruits, that will be perfect. You know, I don't want to be like an Israelite and complain when they got manna. So it's going to be perfect, though. It's going to taste like we're going to have perfect taste buds. So it's going to like explode in our mouth. Who knows, maybe we'll get to see what we smell and smell what we hear. I don't know. It's perfect. It's going to be awesome. Perfect worship again. Perfect relationships with people. It's going to be completely agape love with everybody, not just who you're married to. Everybody perfectly loving and giving. And we're going to be back with the perfect relationship with God again. Heaven's for real. Heaven's for real. You know, when I started learning that heaven wasn't playing a harp on a cloud or just energy, and I'm glad it wasn't that you just die and rot in the grave, that it's going to be a real place of real things to do, I don't deserve to go. I don't deserve to go. And the really cool thing is that God in the gospel is trying to prepare us for the life in heaven now. He's trying to make us fit citizens for the kingdom. That's what it's all about. He bought the title deed and has given it to us. And now He's giving us the fitness, the exercise to live there. So it takes time and practice. And I want you to be there. Because listen, if you aren't there, if you guys are all there, if everyone, you know, like when you meet someone and they're not going to be there, they're not going to be there. Like that's one less person you get to talk to and hang out with. That's what heaven's about, is about community and fellowship, and they're not going to be there. So please make sure that you're there. Please make sure that you're there. I want to be there. I want you to be there. It's just not going to be as good. And so because I want you to be there, I want to do my duty and help and teach and guide and promote things. And so I want to not just do one creation seminar once. I want to be able to teach and do more. And just be able to give more. Because I want you to be in heaven. And so at this time, there should be a card. And it's not like the other cards. It's going to be different. And I'm going to need a card. So if you could give me one before you pass one out. All right. This is my brother, by the way. The one that was in the car accident. So, and as you get this card, it has different things, and it's not like the cards you had before. It's kind of like an exit survey, just for me to develop programming in the future for the community, because the whole thing is I want to help make each other fit for the kingdom. You know, and so if you're interested in having personal Bible studies with somebody to learn more about the Bible, there's that option. If you want to, if you'd rather study in a small group in the home, like a group of people, mark that one. If you want to learn more about Bible prophecy, mark that one. And then the last one is just, do you want to just go to heaven? You're just making a commitment to God that you want to go to heaven. And as you're looking at the card and thinking about what you want to do to, or if you don't have to mark anything, if you don't, hopefully you want to go to heaven at least. But I just want to be able to provide programming and community and education so that we can all make sure that we're going to be in heaven together. Because heaven would not be heaven unless you're there and I'm there. And so as you look at the card and you're reading it, I'm going to have a song. Well, I'm not going to have a song. We're going to have a song. And I want you to think about it because it's like top five songs that I like ever, even though I haven't heard this version, but I told them what song I wanted, and they prepared it for me in a few days, and they're going to play it, and so I'm actually looking very much forward. In fact, the whole time I was preaching the sermon, I was like, I can't wait until the special music at the end, so I wanted to hurry up and get the sermon done with so I could listen to it. So I hope that you enjoy it, and think about the card, and think about if there's something that you would like, mark it, put your name, your address, so that we can contact you and we can provide the education and the community for you to be in so that we can all be in heaven together. Because that's what I want. And so I hope that you want that too. So enjoy the song, and then I'll talk a little bit more afterwards and pray, and then we'll get to end the seminar. Yeah, raise your hand if you need a pencil. So, all right.
I wanna go to heaven, pick a never-fading flower from the mountains overlooking the temple of my God. Wanna go to heaven, where all is light and glory, how I long Jesus, how I long to be with God. Sometimes I think I can stay here no longer. I feel very lonely here, for I've seen a better land. And oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. Wanna go to heaven, want to hear the voice of Jesus. You have washed your robes in my blood, stood stiffly for my truth. When I get to heaven, I'll cast my crown at Jesus' feet. I want to praise his name forever. He's done so much for me. Sometimes I think I can stay here no longer. I feel very lonely here, for I've seen a better land. And oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. Wanna go to heaven and hear my Father's lovely voice. Come, my people, you've done my will. You'll sit and dine with me. And when I get to heaven, I'll shout Alleluia glory. I'll forever live with Jesus throughout eternity. Sometimes I think I can stay here no longer. I feel very lonely here, for I've seen a better land. And oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away. Be at rest. And oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, at rest.
Now if you could pass the cards to the middle and then have the ushers pick them up. I was thinking, man, I want to go to heaven. But I just say this from the bottom of my heart, it would not be heaven unless we're all there together. So, man, I wish this was perfect and we could just keep going and that you could come back next Monday and come back next Wednesday and that we could just keep doing this. But I know we have real life and we got to make a living and it can't keep up this pace. But I was just thinking, how many would like to keep learning in a similar format? Would like to keep learning like maybe just one day a week? Could I just see hands? Well, that's cool. I was just thinking, why don't we just do it Wednesdays through the month of May? So, Wednesdays through the month of May, okay, it'll be a little bit different. I would rather do more of a classroom setting. A little less formal, classroom setting. Wednesdays at, what's a good time? 7. We'll let Steve teach sometimes. We'll co-teach. It'll be fun. So come on Wednesdays at 7. We'll keep learning in the Bible, and it'll be great. so you're all invited to come Wednesdays at 7. And, yeah, I want you all to be in heaven. Let's just stand and pray and consecrate ourselves so that we can be all there together. God, and I want to go to heaven. I want everyone here to be in heaven. I want my family that doesn't have a relationship with you to be in heaven. I want people here who have family that doesn't know you to get to know you so they can be in heaven. And Lord, if that means that I don't get to go to heaven before I'm 30 or 40 or 50, if I have to live until 80, and that means more people get to go to heaven, it'll be worth it. Heaven will be cheap enough. If I have to get some dreaded disease for your glory and suffer, it'll be worth it if people get brought to heaven. Lord, be with us all. Guard us and protect us and make it very hard to walk away from you. Because if you put even some sort of feeling in me to want people in heaven, then you who are perfectly loving want everyone to be in heaven, and you want us all to be there. And you will send every angel and every being, every spirit, ounce, measure, power to make sure that we can be there and that others can be there. And I know that this is your will. And you said if we ask anything in your will, that you'll hear us. But you've given us freedom of choice, but make it so hard to choose no. Help us to all be in heaven. Help us to find others to be in heaven with us so that heaven can be more heavenly. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just want to thank you again for coming. And I just have to share this with you that ultimately Nate and I have been praying to say, Lord, how do you want us to follow this up and continue momentum? So when you saw Nate say, how about Wednesday nights? Did you notice that he looked over at me? That's because that's something that genuinely, truly took place just in this moment. And so I'm thankful that we're moving forward together. We want to be a church that's able to follow the spontaneous call of God. Amen? That we want to be that way. So there is no advertising for that. That just happened today. So let your friends know that we are going to be joining and continuing a little bit of study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And when those moments take place here in this church, it makes me glad I'm the pastor here, because we want to sense the Spirit of God and say, hey, let's get together and follow His lead. So God bless you. And sounds like at this point, I'll see you on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Good night. Don't forget that there are some books out there. Will has them, and there's a box behind him, etc. So if you want to take some books and share with your friends, that's absolutely what they're there for. So God bless you. Have a good evening.